and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q2 FY25 earnings conference call of R R Kabel Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ronak Jain from Orient Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon. On behalf of R R Kabel Limited, I extend a very warm welcome to all participants on Q2 FY25 earnings conference call. Today on this call, we have Mr. Shreegopal Kabra, Managing Director, and Mr. Rajesh Jain, Chief Financial Officer. Before we begin this call, I would like to give a short disclaimer. This call may contain some of the forward-looking statements which are completely based upon our beliefs, opinions, and expectations as of today. These statements are not guarantees for our future performance and involve unforeseen risks and uncertainties. With this, I hand over the call to Shreegopal Kabra, sir. Over to you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Hello and good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of R R Kabel Limited, I wish you a happy Diwali in advance and extend a very warm welcome to all the participants on our Q2 FY25 financial results discussion call. On this call, I have with me Mr. CFO, Rajesh Jain. Despite facing a few challenges and achieving moderate volume growth, we are pleased to report our highest-ever quarterly and half-yearly revenue. This growth was primarily driven by double-digit volume expansion in our domestic wires and cable business. Our FMEG segment also delivered a strong revenue performance driven by robust volume growth and an improved product mix, maintaining its status as the fastest-growing player among peers. With current growth momentum and gross margin improvement, we expect to achieve break-even in FMEG business by early FY26. Our numerous strategic initiatives, including capacity expansion, the introduction of high-margin products, new launches with international approvals, and the expansion of our distribution channels, continue to progress as planned. These initiatives are designed to enhance our performance with a major focus on achieving double-digit margin in the coming years. With that, I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Rajesh Jain to take this discussion forward.
Thanks, Shreegopal Ji. India's growth story remains intact with its core drivers, consumption and investment demand, gaining strong momentum. This foundation, coupled with a buoyant real estate sector, is set to make a substantial impact on India's GDP, potentially contributing to double-digit growth. The resilience of the domestic environment has played a key role in supporting our volume growth in the Indian market, particularly in our cable and wire business. The export market, especially in Europe, has been impacted due to delay in shipments impacting our export demand. The slightly sequential volume decline, along with the impact of a higher base year-on-year, is something we are addressing with a strategic focus on strengthening our domestic growth and exploring new opportunities internationally. Despite these short-term challenges, we are optimistic about our long-term prospects and remain confident that the momentum in the domestic market, along with our ongoing initiatives, will lead to a better performance ahead. Now, let's walk through the financial and operational highlights of Q2 FY25. We are pleased to report that in Q2 FY25, we achieved our highest-ever quarterly revenue of approximately 1,810 crores, reflecting a strong year-on-year growth of 13%. Similarly, we also posted a 13% growth in the first half of FY25, marking our highest-ever half-yearly revenue over the same period last year. This growth was primarily driven by domestic volume expansion in our wire and cable segment, and more particularly in the cable segment. Similarly, our FMEG top line has also grown by an impressive 25%. Our EBITDA for the quarter stood at rupees 86 crores, while profit after tax was rupees 50 crores. The reduction in EBITDA and PAT PAT was largely influenced by a contraction in contribution margin driven by heightened volatility in metal prices during the quarter. However, we remain optimistic about overcoming these temporary headwinds. Looking at the segment-wise performance, our wire and cable business recorded a revenue of ₹1,612 crores in Q2 of FY25, up from ₹1,450 crores in Q2 of FY24, marking a growth of approximately 11%. On a half-yearly basis, we saw a similar 11% growth, with revenue reaching to 3,190 crores in H1 of FY25, compared to ₹2,874 crores in H1 FY24. This growth is primarily attributed to volume expansion of approximately 4% on YOY basis and 8% on half-yearly basis. The EBIT margin for the segment stood at 5.1%, impacted by copper price volatility and delay in passing the cost instantaneously. Our export market showed resilience, contributing around 27% of total revenue in Q2 of FY25, up from 24% in Q1 of FY25. Despite some challenges, we believe our ongoing efforts in both domestic and export markets position us well for sustained growth moving forward. When you talk about guidance of our wire and cable business, given the situation of high volatility in copper prices during the first half of the impact on demand due to shipment delays in export market, we have revised our guidance to reflect a more measured outlook. For the second half of FY25, we now expect a volume growth of approximately 15%, which should help us to achieve an overall volume growth of 10 to 12% in FY25. We anticipate a stronger performance in H2 FY25 and expect our EBIT margins in the wire and cable segment to improve back to the range of 8 to 8.5% for second half of FY25. On the export front, while shipping delays may persist for a while, we are actively addressing these challenges. We are in process of getting key product approvals in both the European and US markets, which once secured in the near future, will enable us to introduce higher margin products to these regions. Despite short-term hurdles, these efforts are aimed at strengthening our position and drive sustainable growth in the long run. We remain confident that the measures we are taking will set us up for an improved performance ahead. In the FMEG business segment, we are pleased to report a solid revenue of approximately 198 crores in Q2 FY25, reflecting an impressive growth of 25% for the first half of FY25. We have delivered a remarkable revenue growth of approximately 29% over H1 FY24. This growth was driven by sustained volume increase across key product categories such as fan, appliances and switches. Our segment margin improved, benefiting from an enhanced contribution margin driven by higher sales volumes and a favorable product mix. This performance has allowed us to maintain our position as the fastest growing player among our peers in FMEG segment. Additionally, we have successfully maintained our working capital days at 63 as of September 30, 2024, further underscoring our commitment to sound financial management and operational efficiency. Our strategic initiatives remain firmly on track, and we are on course of complete the current CAPEX cycle, which will enable us to achieve our future growth. In parallel, we are actively working on our next CAPEX cycle for the coming 3 years, and we look forward to updating you as we mark progress on this front. Our FMEG segment is also on track with continuous initiatives such as new product launches, investment in brand transition, and increased advertising efforts. These steps will help us to move closer to break-even in the near future. With these initiatives, we are confident that our strategy will drive long-term growth and profitability. With this overview, I would now like to open the floor for questions. Thank you for your attention and continued support.
Thank you so much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Praveen Sahai from PL India. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. My first question is related to the volume growth. Sir, can you explain like how is the volume is progressing now, as you had already given a guidance of 10 to 12% for a year or 15% for next half. So how you are seeing from a soft volume in the Q2 to a Q3 of October, how that's progressing, and what exactly the the confidence you are getting from the market for a 15% of a growth for the next half?
So Praveen, when we see our this first half growth, like our growth was around 8.5% in first half of this year, and based on our historical growth and looking to the market conditions, even in wire and especially in cable, where we are aiming to grow at a much higher pace, so this gives us confidence that we can achieve a growth of 15% in second half, which will enable us to get the growth of 10 to 12% on yearly basis. In even if we now also see, we are, in spite of some challenges in export segment, still we were able to achieve this volume growth of 8.4% in first half.
So if you can highlight like from where wire is doing well or expected to recover, or the cable growth to continue for you for next half as well, looking at the, and also if you can add that the new capacity which you had highlighted earlier that is expected to come in the stages in the financial year FY25. So how is the situation there for the cable especially?
So out of total capex planned for FY25 or till March 25, already some of the capacities are available for production. And based on that only, like when I'm talking about approximately 15% volume growth, by thumb rule, we understand that approximately 10% growth can come from wire and 25% growth can come from cable, and which will give us weighted growth of around 15%. More particularly, though our base is very small in cable, but looking to the industry side, looking to the demand cycle and the way we have orders in pipeline, and even Indian infrastructure is working, we are expecting that we can achieve this growth of 15%.
Okay. So next question is related to the margin. Also in the margin front, you had given some 8.5% of a margin guidance, whereas 6% of a margin in the wire and cable with margin you had delivered in the first half. So the contraction in the margin is only because of a fluctuation in the raw material prices, or more to do with the product mix changes? How is that? Why that's got impacted, and the 6%, and from where you are getting a that's the 8.5% of a margin to achieve actually?
So when we see figures of our this quarter or even for this first half of this year, the major contraction has come at the gross margin level only. So it was reflected by two things. One, copper price volatility, and secondly, like passing on this impact to consumers in timely phase. So in this quarter, we were not able to completely pass on the impact of higher prices to consumers, and that is why our reduction is approximately 4% when I compare to last year. But the same thing reflected or transit in EBIT level also. So the major difference was at gross margin level only. And at the same time, when we are talking about 8 to 8.5% kind of EBIT level, which we could have achieved in last year also, so at same level we are expecting that in H2 of this year we'll be achieving the same, which are normal level for our business. EBIT margins of 8 to 8.5% for wire and cable segment.
Okay, without considering any fluctuation in the RM prices.
Yeah. Yes.
Sir, last question is related to the FMEG because from the last couple of quarters you are delivering a very strong growth. So this quarter also this 24% of a growth, if you can highlight, is that more to do with the value growth or the volume growth is also there? And if the volume growth is there, from which segment you are getting this volume growth? If you can highlight the segment as well as geographical mix in that.
So, Praveen, in FMEG businesses, it is not exactly or directly linked with volume growth because you have different units, be it fan, lights or switches. So, ultimately, if you see, we have achieved a very good growth in fan, appliances and switches. So majority of the contribution were come in spite of the challenge in price pressure or price correction in lighting. In spite of that, we were able to achieve this growth of 24%. So it is mix of shifting some sales from economy category to premium and mid premium category, which are high margin products, and even getting new product sales from new product launches, what we have done in last year.
Okay. Thank you, sir. I'll come in a queue. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Our next question is from the line of Rahul Agrawal from Ikigai Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Good evening. And sir, firstly, to start with, did I get the volume growth numbers correct? So on domestic cable and wire, you said the overall growth was 8.5%. Is that number correct?
No, so my 8.5% is on H1 versus H1 of previous year, while my domestic volume growth is more than 10% for if I just compare quarter on quarter basis.
So 10% volume growth for India business for the second quarter of fiscal 24.
Yes, yes, on YOY. Okay.
And how much was international YOY for second quarter?
YOY we were negative. Since our last year base was a little bit higher side and due to delay in shipment, it is almost negative by 9%.
Okay, okay. So one more question I had was that in case we were unable to pass on the price hike, my sense is from a pricing perspective in India, RR Kabel must be pretty competitive versus other brands in the quarter. So despite that, the volume growth looks like, when we compare it to listed peers, the data what we have right now with us, looks like we are the lowest in that hierarchy, and which basically means that we have lost market share. So if our prices were lower, then we would have done better, right? So what could be, was there a regional divergence in terms of how you performed and others performed, or could you elaborate a bit on this, please?
So Rahul, as per my understanding, the impact on pricing was with all competition also. If you see, their margins have also reduced in the similar line what we have done. But so the thing was that since the correction in copper prices or fluctuation in copper prices were very high, and whatever the approach we have to pass on this price in systematic manner with some lag impact to consumers, this time this cycle could not be completed as there were some delays in implementation of new prices or effect of giving new prices. So there was a reduction in at gross margin level, and I think it is similar with my peers also.
But peers have reported better gross better volume growth, so I was just concerned with that. Margin, I understand.
Yeah, no, I cannot, I do not have that data, but if I compare the gross margin level of peers and myself, then there is similar kind of contraction in the gross margin.
Fine, sir. Well, moving ahead, one clarification I wanted was an export business. Our margins, when we export, I think 70-30 is the mix between wire and cables in exports also. Our margins are better than India or lower than India?
So again, there are two segments. In wires, the margins are less when I compare with India, but in cables, margins are better in export market when I compare with Indian market. So it is both way. In cable, it is higher, and the wire, it is less in export market. But since we started our export journey from wire only, so still majority of our export is coming from wire only, but now we are focusing on changing the product mix to have higher profitability, and our cable exports are increasing as my capacity is also enhancing, and we are getting good demand from export market. But this is continuous process.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Hussain Bharuchwala from Carnelian Capital. Please go ahead.
So just wanted to understand from you, basically your competitor, the largest player in the segment, has said that his growth in the wire segment was towards that of cables. But and you being the largest player in terms of, you have a better mix of wires compared to cables, right? Your business, your top volume should have been better. So what went wrong in terms of the volume growth? Because I understand the margins, but what went wrong in the volume growth? Because the street was estimating much better numbers when it comes to demand, and real estate is in a good cycle. And so I believe your volume growth should have been much higher.
So what happened, like when copper prices were very volatile at the end of Q1, and that impacted the demand of June as well as July and till mid-August. So though at the end of this quarter, there were good volume uptick also, but still like the first half of this quarter have impacted us to a large extent in terms of wire demand. But it has improved compared to the second month. Sorry, yeah, please.
So my point is, volatility in the copper prices, we understand. That is completely there, but I understand. But if your player competitors are able to grow much faster in the wires, and you are being the leader, so have you lost market share in terms of wires? That is one thing that we can understand. That we can basically understand from you. So have you lost market share?
Yeah. Since we do not have exact data of how much growth in wire and cable, but still, yeah, giving the understanding what you are saying, if others have grown at higher in wire and we have almost flat in wire. So, if by that logic, it seems there may be some impact in our market share, but we do not have exact data.
Got it. And secondly, sir, on the export side, can you give us some color? How is it standing out in the export market? Have we got any approvals or any restrictions there? How we are seeing the export market? What is the status in Europe? Is the demand better in Europe, or things are turn better going forward? Can you give us some color on that front?
So overall, see, we are very strong on export front. We have more than 42 international product approvals. Also, like our export market is established. We are largest exporter, as well as the almost 25% of my revenue is coming from export. So in that way, we are doing very good. At the same time, being Europe is my largest export market. And due to some delay in shipments, what happens like earlier, if it was taking 25 days, now it is taking 35 to 40 days. So this has delayed some shipments also, and even some few parties changed their orders from us to maybe some other suppliers also. So there was some impact from temporary impact on my wire demand from European market. At the same time, like we are in process to get approval of my cable products or some special cables in US market also, which is in pipeline, and we are expecting that by this quarter end we'll get those approvals, and slowly we'll get additional business from a new product lines also.
Got it. So to US, what is the, if you can give us a ballpark figure of your US share in your total exports, if you can give some ballpark figure.
So as of now, it is contributing almost 10% in my export. US is almost 10%, then Europe is maybe 50 to 55%. So in that way, we are very good in developed countries.
Got it. So do you think your US share with time will go up? And pricing, if I suppose, will be better in US compared to Europe?
No, it is not about Europe and US, but it is related to product. If we are in cable exports or maybe high specialized cable products. So in US, we are focusing only on high value added products only. And same way, Europe also, our focus is increasing the cable segment where we have higher value additions. So overall, we are focusing on how we can increase our sales in high value added products in export market.
Got it. But in the domestic market, in the overall segment, I think there are a lot of small players who have also entered in the market. So do you see heightened competition in the segment when it comes to wires and cables with the new small players? A lot of players have got funding recently, so they have also started competing on some of the tenders. So is there something that you're seeing?
So still, as per our understanding, like 65% to 70% market is only with organized player and rest is with unorganized. Though over the time we have seen very good improvement in market share by organized player. And what we understand that every brand has their own strength, on geographical strong presence. So every company is doing at their best, and competition will always be there, but we have our own strategy to expand my sales base and getting higher volumes in wires also in domestic.
Got it. And the last thing on BharatNet. So basically, BharatNet tender was supposed to get announced, and a lot of your competitors are basically bidding for those BharatNet tenders. So that is a sizable opportunity. What I understand is 50,000 crore sizable opportunity in cables. So are you bidding for some of those tenders, and what are you eyeing in that front? If you can give some color on that.
So as of now, not on BharatNet because we have very limited capacity in cable, but still we have already good demand from government as well as private sector. So we have sufficient demand in current customer base only. As of now, we have not participated in those tenders.
Got it. Okay, that was the only point from my side. Thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Achal Lohade from Nuvama Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So two questions for us is with respect to competition. Now, as we have seen in case of margin impact as well, has that continued in the month of October? Is this one-off? Is this is new normal according to you? And in terms of the pricing, how do we stack up against the peers in terms of pricing our product? Are we at par? Are we at premium compared to the market leader? That's my first question, sir.
Okay, so if we see, it seems that Q2, which was extraordinary and one-off only in terms of reduction in profitability, but as a normal practice and based on the historical data also and based on our experience, it seems that we will always keep on passing this price impact to our consumers in a systematic manner. Though there will be some lag impact and there may be some impact when we see month-on-month basis, but when we see at longer time horizon, then we will always be able to pass on this price. The effect in Q2 especially was like one time only, where all of a sudden the huge volatility, we were not able to pass on both the sides, like at increase time also and at reduction price time also. So there was one-off effect. But otherwise, you see, every company has their own brand positioning, brand pricing. So we are at par with competition, and the price movement is almost similar for all companies.
Got it. And second question I had, I missed that guidance. So you said you are looking for a 15% volume growth for the second half. And what margins guidance you have given, sir?
8 to 8.5% EBIT margins for wire and cable for second half.
Okay. And does that assume a pricing, normal pricing scenario, or it assumes a weak pricing scenario in terms of compared to competition, the aggressive pricing or anything of that sort?
It is based on current pricing scenario, like not very strong or weak, but it is like how industry is behaving currently. It is based on that scenario only, we are assuming.
Understood. And just one more question, sir, if I may, with respect to the distribution. Can you help us understand what are our, targets we're looking at in terms of, the distributor and the retail count, say for FY25 and FY26, and what is it currently, if you could spell that out?
So for distributor and retail level, what we think that our current bandwidth is sufficient enough to serve the current expansion plan also and growth also. The only thing now we want to increase the depth of my distribution, so per distributor sales should increase, and in that way we are working. At the same time, our focus on retail and electrician is a continuous process, and we are working as we earlier also we were always focused, like we have more than 1.25 lakhs retailers, or maybe more than 4.5 lakhs electricians in our loyalty management program. So that focus will continue to be there. The only thing, distribution level, now we are focusing on increasing the depth of my distribution.
So you think the breadth is already there? We want to have more extraction out of this current setup in terms of the sales, so put. Is that right, sir?
Yeah, exactly that, sir.
Understood. Sure. And just last question, capacity utilization for cables and wires for the second quarter?
So it was similar to last time, only like almost 90-95% in cable and 65-70% in wire.
Got it. That's all from my side, sir. I'll fall back in the queue for further questions. Thank you and wish you all the best.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. Our next question is from the line of Venkat Samala from DSP Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks a lot for the opportunity. So earlier, you used to guide for 20% volume growth for us for the full year, right? Now we're talking about recovery in H2, but still we're talking about only 15% growth, right? So what has led to some moderation in our guidance versus the earlier expectation?
So when I see the current H1 growth and some impact on my export market also, so like overnight, I don't want to overcommit that our growth will be something. When we have achieved a growth of 8%, then what we see, 15% is quite moderate growth, and first we want to achieve this only, and then we'll see how market moves ahead.
Okay. So the impact essentially is on the export side versus the earlier expectation. Domestic side, you don't see a challenge.
No, see, competition is there, always it will be there, but we see good growth of, even 15% is good growth, though it is below our earlier guidance, but still, first we want to achieve this figure and then we'll see.
No, that I understand. I'm just saying, versus the earlier expectation, what has changed? Domestic has changed or export?
No, export has changed. So, you have seen, we have degrown in this quarter in export market. So, ultimately, it will have some impact in my export growth. So, domestically, things have not changed that much.
Understood. That is clear, sir. And, in response to a previous question, you did mention about, losing out for some of your orders to another vendor. Can you elaborate that?
So what happened, earlier, what we were making export to Europe, and they were taking regularly from us, but when there were delays in shipment, so they might have changed and they might have some purchase, some quantity from Turkey or similar places which are very nearby to them. So in that way, we might have lost some orders.
Okay. And is it to an Indian guy or somebody else?
Turkey. I'm saying Turkey. Because Turkey, see, their transit time is hardly 7-8 days, while it is taking almost 35 days from here. So in that case, some of my orders, since there were delay in shipment, and some customers might have shifted some orders to Turkey, nearby country there. Not for me.
That is essentially because of transit time. Okay. That is clear, sir. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. Our next question is from the line of Amol Rao from OneUp Financial Consultants. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Jain, for all the information you have provided. So, could you be kind enough to tell us what could be the possible quantum of any inventory loss that we may have had? I mean, just because of the quarter-ending copper price, what is the notional, not cash loss, notional loss that we could have incurred? Because this evens out over the course of the next few quarters, just to get a sense.
No, so it is not always possible to quantify that inventory loss, because what happens here, price is moving on like fortnightly or monthly basis, or sometimes even weekly basis also, it keeps changing. But yeah, if we see from notional level, there may be some impact. But again, this you cannot predict that on forward-going basis also it will be in the similar fashion. So since there were like very high volatility when I compare with just H1 of this year or even Q2 of this year, so there may be some impact that some prices we could not pass on to the whatever price we were having inventory and could not be passed on and converted into sales. So there may be some impact of, say, 15-20 crores in this quarter.
Okay, sir. That's about it. Okay. So it's that limited to 15-20 crores only. Okay. So just wanted to get a sense how much, because, I mean, the copper volatility is, I mean, it's been very rare to see such volatility. It's not happened very frequently in the last 10 years.
Yes.
Just that. So secondly, sir, just curious on the profitability side, even though, sir, I mean, our FMEG sales, the losses have narrowed, so you attributed it to a product mix change. So, sir, what products did we favor this quarter that we got, that we reduced the cash burn in this quarter, sir, if I may ask?
So if you see, even within fan or maybe other products also, now what we are doing that we are focusing to have increased sales of premium and mid-premium category products. So like always, economy category have limited profits or higher competitions. So now we are focusing that how we can achieve higher value addition by focusing on premium and mid-premium category products or new products what we are launching in market. Even like if you see, lights have higher volatility in pricing also. But in this quarter also, though it is off-season for fan product, but still we could manage good growth in fan also. So in that way, it is like improving my gross margins and reducing the losses.
Got it. And sir, I mean, this product optimization, I mean, is this going to be, I mean, obviously, we're going to take a tactical call every quarter, but you see this to be a trend over the next few years that we veer more towards the mid-premium and premium side rather than the economy side, or do we need to, I mean, what I'm trying to ask is, will economy still continue to be a big chunk of our FMEG thing because we need to have a wholesome product basket?
So see, one thing is for sure, in FMEG, you have to focus on all the categories. If you have to make higher growth, then you have to focus on economy category also. But at the same time, if you have to become a premium consumer brand, then we have to add a few products in medium, premium, or mid-premium category also. So it will be always a mixed approach that at one side, we'll always focus to have increased sales of premium, mid-premium category. At the same time, to spread my market and to have a higher presence in market, we'll have a focus on mass sales also. So it will be always like having good approach or equal approach on both sides.
Okay. Sir, just to take that question one step forward, sir, we have got a good size, a decent size, and we are guided towards a break-even in FY26 in the FMEG business. Is it safe to assume that 1,500 crores of annual runway could see the cash burn end? At that level, we stop burning cash because then our product portfolio is quite mature. It covers all the categories, and we are making enough money to cover up everything, all our expenses.
So we are expecting to achieve break-even much before that, like at 1,100 crores of level of top line, we are expecting to achieve EBIT level break-even.
Okay, sir. That's very helpful, sir. Thank you so much, sir. Happy Diwali to you and the team, sir.
Yeah, same to you also.
Thank you very much. Our next question is from the line of Rahul Agarwal from Ikigai Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you. I think I got dropped off when I was asking questions last time. Sir, one question was on the status of capacity expansion. If you could explain product-wise what's really happening on the cable and wire side, how is that shaping up?
Yeah, so like if you see earlier also what we explained that we are doubling our power cable capacity, and at the same time we are also increasing almost 20%-25% my wire capacity. We are on track to enhance this capacity, and this CapEx cycle major part will be completed by end of this financial year. And few machineries are already operational out of that. So we have now, like, it will be ongoing process that whatever capacity we are enhancing, this will help us to achieve the growth of next 2 years.
Yeah, very clear on that. What I wanted to know is a bit more specific in terms of, you know, we were planning to launch power cables both for export markets as well as for Indian markets. So is that already started?
No. Capacity, around few capacity have increased, but still the major part of power cable will start in April 25 only.
Okay, got it, sir. And one last question, sir. From October, I mean, most of the October month is over, but copper has been acting funny. I don't think it's pretty stable even in this month. How are you seeing the channel behave for this month? Any color?
So, like this month is at normal levels. What we have seen, a very good demand in September or very poor demand in July or June. But this is a normal month in terms of demand. Even at copper price, though, we have seen volatility on day-to-day basis, but on monthly average, if you see, like copper prices are almost 3% up than September level. So in that way, it is like a normal month for us.
Which means that we are better off from September, right? September to October, we are better off?
No. That way, as I told, like, if September was a really good month for us in terms of volume, and that could make the whatever we could not do in the month of July or till mid-August also. But at the same time, if we see on average basis, yeah, we are doing better than previous quarters.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much for answering my questions, and wish everybody a very happy Diwali, sir.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to two per participant. Our next question is from the line of Tanay Shah from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, I just wanted to understand as to, you know, the guidance which we are reiterating for FY 25. How is the demand which we're kind of looking at it? Like, you know, what's the demand outlook stage two? Because
Tanay, can you speak a bit loudly, please? Can you repeat?
Yeah. Can you hear me now, sir?
Yeah, now it's better.
Yeah. So I just wanted to understand, given that, you know, H1 has relatively been weak versus our expectation, how are we kind of expecting the demand outlook for H2? You know, because the ask is fairly high for H2. And similarly, apart from the demand, how are we seeing the RM price volatility kind of faring out for us? Because, you know, even the margin ask per se for the EBIT margin is fairly high. So, sir, if you could just guide on that, it would be great. Thank you.
Yeah, Tanay. So first, you have to see historically also or traditionally also, H2 is always better than H1. In this industry, what happens, like, majority of the products or real estate projects also get executed in H2 at much higher volume in compared to H1. So one is that reason. And secondly, even when we are talking about margin improvement or margin, so what we are saying is what we have achieved in last year, like our EBIT margins for wire and cable were in the range of 8.4%. So we are expecting that range only. So we are saying, like, we are on back to normal situation where we could achieve whatever margins we were historically achieving. So we are not forecasting any much improved version or higher targets. These are in line with our trend and industry figure only.
Sure, sir. So while it obviously is in line with what we kind of achieved last year, but given, you know, the RM volatility which we've kind of seen, and obviously the increased competitive intensity as well, so is there any improvement on that front as to where we believe that this can kind of normalize going forward into the second half?
As per our understanding, Tanay, the impact in Q2 was abnormal. If you see, normally there was always price fluctuation or volatility was always there, and there were a good system also to pass on this price impact in systematic manner by changing your sales price and passing on this price impact to our consumers. The only thing in this quarter, we could not pass on that impact completely because there were high volatility and with a very small span of time, there were both head movement. So that is one of the thing. Otherwise, normally this normal price movement will always be there and we will always be pass on this impact to our consumers. So that will not impact my gross margin.
Sure, sir. Okay, that's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Naushad Chaudhary from Birla. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. A couple of clarification. So firstly, on the value side, for in terms of if I look at the nature of the business, one or two quarter here and there is fine. But if I look at your numbers from that, five quarters consistently.
Very high, I think. I'm not getting exactly. Can you repeat?
Yeah, hi. I think hope it is better now.
Now it's better, yeah.
Yeah. So, firstly, on the margin side, sir, see, one or two quarter volatility here and there is fine, but from last five, six quarters consistently, we are losing margin. And given the nature of the business, we have not experienced this kind of, you know, consistent decline in one direction of the margin. So is there anything else which we should understand from the business or mixed point of view, or is there any unfavorable contract which is sitting in our book which is, you know, impacting this margin? Help us, you know, understand it more. What exactly is there apart from the raw material volatility, which we are not able to understand with this consistency in the margin decline?
So here I would like to clarify one thing, that we are not in long-term contract kind of business, and majority of our business, since it is more B2C, so the current prices only impact, or whatever long-term orders we have, that all are having PV clause, price variation clause. So frankly, the major impact is due to price volatility and time gap between the my purchase or my stock cost versus passing on the prices impact to consumer. When we see compared on quarter-on-quarter basis, there are some variation. But if you see on yearly basis, like in last year, we have seen improvement of margins by almost 140 bps in my wire and cable segment. So this year, again, first quarter was one of the off, first half of this year was off from our normal figure. But again, second half we are having target of getting that normal EBIT level or margin level only. So we are on track on that, and there is no impact other than what
I,
the policy.
I understand that, sir. Help us understand in terms of your overall length of the contract which you sign, what percentage of your business comes from the contractual business, and how often you change the price?
So hardly 5 to 10% my business comes with the, that kind of long-term contract business, and there also we have 100% business is with PV clause only. So PV means last month average, whatever last month raw material prices, it keeps changing on every next month supply. So we do not have any fixed term contract either for 3 months, 6 months, or 1 year.
No, but see, nature of our export business, it takes 35 days to deliver the product. So somebody has to agree on some price. So if you are making the product, you're taking 15, 20 days, then 35 days to deliver the product. So in a way, directly or indirectly, we get into 45 to 50 days of the contract, right?
Yes, yes. So this is very good question by you. But just let me explain, in export, our prices are very transparent. At the time of placing the orders, we have in our pricing sheet, we have three things are variable, my copper price, PVC price, and freight, while my conversion profitability is fixed. So whenever they are placing the order, they place their order either on month average basis or some average or some day CSP average. And whatever basis they placing the order on me, I also cover back-to-back on my purchase side also. So So copper, like my export business, has 0% risk in terms of price volatility as well as forex fluctuation also. Both and we are quite secure. I hope this will answer your query.
I'll take it offline. I'll just have one other question to clarify. In terms of your overall copper procurement policy, if you can help us understand what percentage of the requirement you import and why do we import it? Is it because of the price difference or availability? And do we hedge this position? Overall, help us understand your procurement policy.
Yeah, just I will answer in briefly, maybe detail we can, in detail yeah. We can later also. But right now what I can say you that like almost 30% of my copper procurement we are importing, and the reason being since I am exporting also and my exports are covered under advanced authorization scheme where I can import duty-free material. So that is good way to have my compensate my import and export balancing.
Okay, and just lastly, then I'll come back in the queue. See, we have reduced our growth guidance, and we are giving some reasoning to the export market. So, can we be a bit more specific here? When we were giving 20% growth guidance, what was the thought process there, and what has exactly changed here? You know, to reduce our growth guidance.
See, historically also we were in the range of 20%. This first H1 was one-off and where we could not achieve, and the major region was export only. That's why we are just moderating for this half of our guidance, and later we'll see how things move. So since we are meeting every quarter, so we'll keep updating you about
that. Yes, I take that point, sir, but if you can, you know, be more specific, what exactly is changing there in the export market? Is there overall slowdown you are experiencing in the
I think I have already answered this question that there is no slowdown, but some impact due to delay in shipment. There were some orders shifted, and due to this shipping time changes, there is some impact, but it is not permanent kind of impact. Still, our business or demand is good, and there is good presence of our brand all over the Europe, and particularly in more than 85 countries. Good thing that we export our products in our own brand, which is again very big achievement for us.
So is it because of the high volatility in the copper prices and nobody wants to take 35 days ka open exposure in the copper, that's why they are preparing a nearby supply?
I think not that reason, but they don't want to have that kind of material in transit. See, when they are getting at 8 days the transit time, then why they will wait for 35 to 40 days? So this is just time being. Otherwise, normally like...
But this was the case earlier also, sir, right?
So there was like gap of 2 weeks only earlier, like 8 days versus 25 days. Now it is 8 days versus 35 to 40 days. So, and plus if you have seen like freight cost were also very high, and since this cost is variable, so everything they were bearing. So that was also one of the reasons.
Thank you so much, sir. I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Srinidhi Karlekar from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. So you said 10% volume growth in the domestic cable and wire business. Would it be possible to further break down in how wire has grown, now cable has grown?
Yes, so still like in domestic also we have grown at much higher pace in cable and compared to cable, wires. So in domestic our wire business has grown by 2% only, while cable business has grown by 36%. And I am talking this about quarter on quarter basis, on YOY basis for Q2.
Right. Okay. The 2% volume growth particularly looks not only on absolute basis but very weak compared to on a relative basis compared to some of your peers. So anything that happened, like what your growth, why your growth rate was just 2% in the domestic wire business, particularly given there was a lot of stocking that happened in the channel because copper was inflationary towards the end of September.
So we had a high impact of lower demand in the month of July and mid of August. So like my first 41 days or first half of this quarter was very badly impacted. Though we could make good progress in the last month of this quarter, like in September, but still like it was much lower than our expectation.
Great. And then the second question is on the margin front. So do you get to track your contribution margins and the EBIT margins by product categories, like how much is it domestic wire, how much is domestic cable, how much is exports cable? Like, do you get to track that like separately, both at contribution level and EBIT level?
So to some extent, we have our MIS system where we track these margins, and whatever impact we have seen in this quarter, mainly in reduction in my margins or gross margins at wire level in domestic. So that was the big reason of sharp fall in our margins.
Right. And sir, how much would you, like, there is a 400 basis point kind of a reduction. How much would you say is basically underlying margin decline at this wire segment, and how much is that actually related to the cable business growing faster than wire, which actually comes at a lower margins? As in, is it possible to break down in mix versus underlying decline?
Not in that way, but what I can say, when we see 4% reduction in gross margin, and this was again mix of both the things. One, we were not able to pass on the increased price, so there may be, I can say, 1.5-2% impact on that side. At the same time, since my copper prices have also increased, so for example, if prices have increased by 4% and I was able to pass on 2% only, and there was time impact also. So overall, this was mix of major impact was in wire only, and of course cable also there, but cable was not that much impact because the effect was to the extent of orders what we were having in hand only.
Understood. Thank you for answering my questions, and all the very best.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Raman KV from Sequent Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello. Can you hear me, sir?
Yeah. Good evening, Raman.
Thank you. Good evening, sir. So, can you give the volume guidance for the FMEG business?
So, in FMEG, volume is very tough because all three lines like switch, lights or fan have different kind of units. But still, when we talk about like 25%, 20-25% kind of revenue growth we are expecting in FMEG business.
In next quarter or in the next half?
In next half also.
Okay, 20-25%.
Yeah.
Sir, and what is the capex you are planning to do in Q3 or in H2?
So overall, our capex plan was of rupees 500 crores, which was spread over 2 years, which is like FY24 and 25. Since we are executing that capex only, and this will be completed by March 25. So this is like ongoing capex plan. So particularly for this quarter or half, it is not separate capex plan, but whatever we are executing is part of our master capex plan only.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. In the interest of time, that was the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for joining this call. We appreciate your participation. If you have any questions or queries, please feel free to reach out to us directly or contact Orient Capital. We look forward to connecting with you again next quarter. Thank you. Once again, I wish you Happy Diwali and Happy New Year in advance.
Okay, Happy Diwali to everyone, and thanks for joining the call.
Thank you so much, sir. On behalf of RR Kabel Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.